He asked her, "Why didn't you marry the person that you loved all those years and chose instead to live alone?" And she answered, "Well, I was afraid it wouldn't work out." And then he asked her, "Well, why didn't you quit the job that you hated and go back to school and train to pursue your dreams and study what you were passionate about?" And she answered, "Well, I was afraid I wouldn't make enough money." Then he asked her, "Why didn't you travel and see the world like you wanted to?" And she answered, "I was afraid of traveling alone and meeting people so different from myself." And then St. Peter answered her, "Well, it seems to me, my dear, that you spent so much of your life being afraid." We sometimes, too, spend a lot of our life being afraid. Some people are afraid of spiders or snakes, afraid of failing health, afraid for our children or grandchildren, afraid of speaking truth, afraid of losing a job, afraid of not getting a job, afraid of being rejected, afraid of what others might think, afraid of not having enough money, afraid of the future, afraid of making a wrong decision, a choice, afraid of being alone, afraid of getting sick, afraid of climate change, afraid of war breaking out, afraid of Trump, afraid of dying. There are so many things when you start making a list to be afraid of. Like Jesus asked the disciples in the boat, Jesus asks each of us, "Why are you afraid?" Especially today with the unpredictable state of the world, it feels as though our very survival as a species is at stake. So how do we cope in dealing with all these overwhelming fears? They can paralyze us. We look to the disciples in the boat. They were afraid for their survival also. The storm was so great that they were sure they were going to drown. And so they rushed to the stern of the boat where Jesus is apparently sleeping peacefully, like a baby. And they ask him, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" And Jesus gets up and says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And he speaks, and the storm is calmed. "Peace, be still," he says. Apparently, he wasn't just talking to the storm. There are all sorts of storms that we face in our own lives. When our fears are stirred up and there's a storm brewing inside of us, so many fears swirling around inside of us, so many challenges and fears threatening to overwhelm us. And Jesus reminds us, have a little faith, a little trust that things are ultimately going to be okay. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see a person who, even in the face of great adversity, great trauma, great hatred, great violence, there seems to be this deep sense of calm inside of him. When he knew that the religious authorities didn't like him and feel threatened by him, he continues to speak his truth to them. When he knew that those closest to him were betraying him, he told them, "Go do what you need to do." He seemed to live a life without a whole lot of fear, even though there was a lot to be afraid of. What would it be like to live our lives with less fear? To be free of the fears that hold us back? To feel that peace that passes understanding? Jesus explains to his disciples that the best antidote to fear is faith. And by faith, he doesn't mean holding to a set of beliefs or doctrines or religious rules to be obeyed. He means simply to have some trust. Trust in the goodness of God. If we were to live with more faith, does that mean that our lives would unfold exactly like we want them to unfold? That we would all get what we wanted? That nothing bad is ever going to happen to us? No. Faith doesn't guarantee that. Look at the life of Jesus. It was not a life of comfort and ease. Lots of terrible things happened to him. But what faith, what trust in God gives us is peace and stillness and calm that comes even in the midst of overwhelming devastation, even in the midst of pain and rejection and torture. There was an unperturbed calmness deep within. Where did that come from for Jesus? Where did that incredible, unperturbable peace come from? When we examine Jesus' life, I think it comes from understanding three things. Jesus' faith, his peace in the midst of the storms of life, came from his understanding that God did care about him, that he was deeply loved and held by the Creator. Jesus understood that God cares about each of us. When the disciples ask, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" Jesus answers the question by calming the storm. Of course, God cares. The story isn't in Scripture to tell us that Jesus had so much power inside him that he could control the weather. Is that why we're always thinking that we can control, like that somehow we're going to control the weather is because of Jesus calming the storm? I've always wondered about that. This story is not told because Jesus is a kind of weatherman. This story is told to remind us that even in the midst of storms that threaten us, to overwhelm us, God cares. God cares what's happening to us. Heaven cares what's going on. And when we know that God cares about what's happening to us, when heaven cares about what we're going through, that can help us face whatever storm is threatening us. When we truly understand that there is a great power of love flowing through the universe that is for us and with us and not against us, we can weather any storm. Another time when his disciples are worried about something, or when Martha is worried and fretting in the kitchen, Jesus tells all of them that God cares about every hair on our head, that God cares whether or not we have enough food and clothing and shelter, that our well-being is God's concern. Even when it doesn't feel like anyone else cares, God does. That God is for us and not against us. Other humans might be against us or not care about us or not value us. But God loves us with an all-encompassing love. We are priceless, of priceless worth in the eyes of our Creator. And when we come to know that, when we come to completely understand that, that the Creator of all life loves us fully and completely, there is an inner peace that comes to us. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about us, because we know that God gets us. When we understand like Jesus did, our value, our worth in the eyes of God, when we see ourselves in the light of how God sees us and come to value ourselves, a deep inner peace is there. The other source of Jesus' inner peace seems to come from Jesus' focus on his purpose. Jesus understood what his purpose was: to heal, to teach, to liberate, to share with good people the good news of God's presence among them. And because he lived out his purpose, he lived with great trust and inner peace. When each of us live our lives with a sense of purpose, there is a deep satisfaction and inner peace that comes from that. Whenever we are in the act of creating, or of loving, or of helping, or serving, whenever we're in the act of healing, or leading, or justice making, or peacemaking, whenever we are in alignment with our inner nature that reflects the nature of God, the natural inclination of the Creator, it is then that we experience a deep inner peace, even in the midst of the storms of life, when we know we are doing the right thing, when we know that we are living out our right purpose, when we are living in the flow of the God force within us, not simply accumulating or acquiring our stuff. When we are giving, which is a state of holiness. When we are giving ourselves away with purpose, there is a trust, a faith that all is as it should be. There is a deep inner calm and peace. Jesus knew at the very core of himself that he was doing the work of God. He was living out his purpose. And it wasn't just Jesus' purpose. It is the purpose of every human being to help one another, to heal one another, to guide one another, to encourage one another. And when we're doing that, when we're living lives of holy purpose, there is a faith and a deep peace that comes that is unshakable. I watched a movie last night that my daughter and who's visiting and one of our students who's planning on leaving next Saturday to go back to the Czech Republic, they had seen it. It's called The Black Klansman. And it's based on a true story. Has anyone seen it? It's a great story about a young man when he was 21. This is in the 70s. He was the first black police officer in the Colorado Springs, Colorado state, and the police force there. And what he did, which I think is a fearless thing, is that he wanted to combat racism that he experienced on the police force and in his daily life. But he actually made a connection with the KKK. He actually posed on the phone as a white person and got to know the Grand Master, David Duke, at that time, of the Ku Klux Klan. And he would talk with him on a regular basis, posing as a white supremacist. Now, he didn't try to change his mind. He just tried to find out what they were up to and who they were going to try to hurt. And he did it successfully. For 7 months, he was undercover. That takes a lot of courage to live without fear. And he didn't seem to be afraid of getting caught. He just did his purpose because he knew he was in alignment, that God is not a racist, and neither should we be. So when we live our purpose, there is a deep peace within us. When we're living as we should be, there is deep peace. And finally, the third place where we can understand Jesus' fearlessness, his inner peace comes in the midst of the storm of life, came from understanding that there was nothing for us to fear in death, which is the ultimate fear. Because he understood what he asked all of us to understand, that death is the gateway back home to God. Jesus was able to live his life with so little fear because he knew ultimately that his life was going to end in death, certain death. He knew that society stoned prophets, but it didn't stop him from speaking his truth. Jesus turned over the tables in the temple because he wanted to make clear that exploitation of the poor was wrong. And even if it meant that the religious authorities would come after him, he turned the tables over anyway, because he wasn't afraid of dying, because he understood that dying is our ticket home to God, our ticket back to where we truly all belong. I remember as a child being really afraid of death. And I think that fear of death came from my mother, who would say nightly prayers with me. I'm sure you all know the prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. What a terrible prayer! I would lie awake after my mother left, after we'd done all of our God bless us, going, if I should die before I wake, okay, I hope I make it through the night. So I always had this fear of death. And then at 21, my grandmother died. And then at 33, my father died. Then at 37, my mother died. So I began to read everything I could on death and dying. And I met people who had died and had been brought back to life and listened to their stories. And I listened to many stories about people hearing messages from the other side, from their loved ones. And I too received messages from my mother who had died and from my father. And my fear of death subsided. And I realized it wasn't something to be afraid of, that it was graduation from this life to the next. And once we begin to realize that death is not something to be afraid of, once we know that all those we have loved are not gone from us, but are still alive and well and will all be together again, we live with a deeper sense of peace. Remember the transfiguration story of Jesus going up the mountain just prior to his last trip to Jerusalem? And when he goes up the mountain and he takes Peter and James and John with him, he has a life-changing experience on that mountain. He speaks to Elijah and Moses. And him speaking with those who have died and gone before him, it gives him the courage he needs to face his own torture and execution and death. When we know that our lives are not ever really lost, that our souls live on, even the storms of death do not terrify us like they once did, and we're not afraid of perishing like the disciples in the boat. The disciples asked Jesus, "Do you not care that we're about to perish?" Jesus' answer is simple. Why are you afraid? Don't you have faith? You're really not going to perish. Because none of us perish. God has made it so that while our bodies wear out, our souls are indestructible. Kind of like plastic. So we can have that peace that Jesus had, that peace beyond our understanding. Like the storms of life, we can have that peace within us because we know that God loves us and cares for us, and we are of great value and worth. And we know that we are doing our best to live lives with holy purpose, loving and healing and caring and guiding one another. And we know that when our bodies are completed, we get to go home. We graduate. And so we can live without fear. Donna Markova wrote this poem after encountering the spirit of her father. She wrote this poem. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. May each of us live fruitful lives without fear. May it be so. Amen.